Welcome to Hidden Battles, Destigmatizing Mental Illness, a weekly podcast where passionate advocates of mental health converge to illuminate unseen struggles faced by millions. Join Jeremy, Terrell, and Lorraine as they delve into candid conversations about stigmas, cultural risk, values, intersectionality, and mental health. Hear from mental health professionals and those diagnosed with a mental illness. Together, they put on the table the things people think about but are afraid to talk about. Get ready to embark on an insightful journey.
Listen weekly on Spotify, YouTube, Apple Podcast, and subscribe, like, and please share with family and friends that can benefit. See you on the journey.
Welcome to the 12th episode, final episode of 2024.
Yes.
Of Hidden Battles. We've got Terrell and Lorraine here, co-hosts. I wanted to start off, you know, we talked about in our last podcast about people who criticize other people, and I wanted to share some words from Theodore Roosevelt, President of the United States. He wrote The Man in the Arena in 1910, April. And The Man in the Arena goes something like this. It's not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming, but who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory or defeat. And I think that that really encompasses our entire year. I think that we're challenging people to get out of the victim stance, to get out of the place of defeat, who give up, who stop, who quit. Single moms, single dads, doesn't matter your culture, doesn't matter your background, doesn't matter where you're from, where at in the world, don't give up and fight. And if people criticize you, Control-Alt-Delete.
Control-Alt-Delete. Love that. That's interesting. As we on the tail end of, but I think it was
a that's a beautiful point.
Yeah. Beautiful point. On the tail end of what I think was a great year, 2024. Let me just talk about what I liked about surmise from the poem. Is fails while daring greatly.
Yeah,
it kind of reminds me of the mindset of failing forward, falling forward.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and then getting out of our comfort zones.
Yeah.
And can you kind of reflect on how, when folks think about the past and moving forward into the present or the future, how important it is to start practicing getting out of their comfort zones. Maybe it's baby steps.
Yeah. You know, I don't really know how to answer your question, but what I think I want to say is this, that Earth is organized by time. It's organized by days, months, years, hours, seconds, months, decades, centuries. But if you really think about your term of your life, it is one persistent and consistent episode. So there's nothing in the past and there's nothing in the future. There's only today.
Right.
And right. When something bad happened to you yesterday, mm-hmm. or this month or this year or this many years, you are reflecting on a time period that doesn't currently exist. You only have what you have to offer today.
Right.
not the future, not the past. And so when we're talking about change, we're talking about today. What can you do today to make your yesterday different?
Right.
Your yesterday isn't full of death, trauma, war, genocide, whatever those things may be. Although those are part of your story,
right.
Remember the day that you're born or the moment that you're born is still the same moment that you exist in today.
Exactly.
There's no difference in the moment. The mm-hmm. only thing that you can really truly argue is growth.
Mm-hmm.
You've grown.
Right.
Or you've not.
Right.
I don't know how else to explain it. I wasn't 1 year old or 0 years old when I was born. I was born at a moment that is a moment. We right. are in a moment.
Right.
And we can confuse ourselves and get ourselves involved in, you know, there's so much shit that's thrown at people right and left
mm-hmm.
that it's hard to really think. And people design themselves and advertise themselves in such a way that confuses everything. If you want to get trauma, tap your knee 3 times and wish for luck. Mm-hmm. Or if you want to eat healthy, then you have to get rid of 12 grams of salt. Or right. if you want a lower cholesterol level, well, they change the fucking cholesterol levels of what's healthy and what's not healthy so right. that you can be prescribed more meds. So it goes from 220 to 120 so that more people fit in the category of this bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just such a fucking confusing thing. So just worry about being the healthiest that you can be today mm-hmm. and make the healthiest decisions today so that you know that whatever bullshit is thrown at you, that you made the best day that you possibly can, which generally means talking to family, friends, children, playing games, doing things that even if you're in the worst environment, that you can sit down for a moment and tell your kid a funny story or do a nighttime story mm-hmm. or tell your kid something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's good. Living in the moment, that's powerful. But most people live in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And as a brain, you know, we process, what, about 90,000 thoughts a day? And each day, it's a repetition.
Mm-hmm.
We think those same mm-hmm. thoughts we thought yesterday.
Yeah.
Right. You know, so it's about recognizing that and changing it, implementing something new in there, upgrading yeah. the software. You know, like Jeremy said earlier, alt control delete, and getting rid of the old, bringing in the new.
Reset.
And that's reset, the reset button. And that's where we're headed in 2025.
But the psychology of change is to understand that people trick you into thinking that you need long-term goals and I need to lose 20 pounds. All of those end results that we want are all trickery. Those are all societal implications. Those are all societal impressions that we think that we need to do something. If you want to change the future, my son taught me this. Don't make weekly, monthly, yearly goals. Make daily goals. Today, this is what I'm going to do differently. And just worry about today.
Okay. That's good. So, segueing into that. That makes sense. However, we do have to plan.
You know, do we?
We.
I mean, do we?
You're damn right we do. Okay. You got a plan. You got a plan. Now, I'm just throwing that in there because we're on the tail end of 24 going into 25.
Yeah.
And we were having a conversation offline about, Jeremy, you wanted us to reflect on some things about.
Yeah.
What
got the documentary done. We talked to a lot of great people. We got a lot of good family members involved. You know, we built a relationship amongst us three. We've been able to build trust and rapport. We've a lot of planning, a lot of successes. You know, some things we didn't get to, but I mean, that's what 2025 is about.
Right.
And so, you know, I mean, and I'm going to throw this out there, but even when we were reviewing, you know, 2024, not everything got done.
Right.
But in my mind, it's like we transformed. We were able to obtain better information.
Absolutely.
That the information that was written down in the plan for 2024 became irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
And so we say, okay, well, this didn't matter. but this is what matters now. And so you have to be in a persistent state of transformation and allowing change to occur, because one thing is persistent and consistent is change.
Right, right, right. So everyone is in the mindset of a new year, you know, putting the past behind them. And I just like to say that for me personally, professionally, 2024 has been like phenomenal. Okay. Yeah. The relationships, the rapport that we have, the opportunity to the privilege of working with a population that people don't give a fuck about. Maybe their parents don't give a shit about.
Yeah.
Maybe people in the medical profession just shun and just like, get the fuck out here, move on. And so I consider myself blessed in the sense that I've had the privilege of working with folks with multiple diagnoses who, if you read their information, you say, this is out of a fucking movie script. This did not fucking happen.
Yeah.
And these people are fucking resilient.
Yeah.
And it's, I can't express beyond, it's just phenomenal to watch these people matriculate and realize that they can change.
Yeah.
And understand that they're not defined by their diagnosis. And they do have hope.
Yeah.
Because they're given an opportunity through, thanks to you, Jeremy, with your facilities.
Thank you. Yeah.
To say, you know, there's some fucking light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah.
Provided I follow these tenets to have a life worth living. Yeah. So that's been rewarding for me professionally. In terms of my family, I think this is the year that we had our grandson.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's like the birth of your child.
Yeah.
I mean, what really what tops that?
I'm jealous.
Right? Right? He was born this year, right? Yeah. This year. 24?
Yeah. He will be 2 in April.
Okay, so watching him develop.
Yeah.
Okay. Into the age that he is now. And I think our son came back this year though, right? Yeah. So
came back from where?
In
Somalia.
Yeah.
Very fucked up over there. We're not going to get into that.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very fucked up. I mean, that's the whole politics behind that bullshit is all about commerce.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, so that was great. Having family and being blessed to be with family and having him here with us, because he wasn't able to celebrate Christmas with us the previous year. So.
Last Christmas.
So that was great. So when I reflect back on that, those are the two areas that stick out the most for me personally.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have to say family, too. It's the same. Our grandson, just being around, seeing him develop, you know, being able to hold him and sing to him and just watch him grow and just his little personality. And he's kind of what I had dreamt about, the way he walks, the way he looks, you know, all of it. It's like I've seen it before, right? But, and then just family, working, you know, continuously working together has been a big deal. And shooting the documentary was kind of life-changing. Just, you know, going in behind the doors of in the homes of those diagnosed with a mental illness and meeting their families and seeing what they have to say about it and how they were affected by it. So it was a learning process, but it was great, you know, and just spending hours and hours of editing.
And working on your PhD.
Let that be known.
Right. But you know, it jailed. It worked together. And that and the podcast.
Yeah. Got it off the ground.
Got it off the ground, you know, at Jeremy's place. We talked about it. We planned it. Put it together.
We did the podcast, the original in the Amazon.
The bugs.
Country Nebraska. Oh, yeah.
But
we had visitors.
The thing was, is coming together in the mindset and having a goal and objective. And that is what we're doing now, you know, is talking to people and being able to help people, give advice, or even share our own stories and grow ourselves.
Yeah.
So.
Boom. Yeah. Perfect. So is this a good time for a break?
Mental illness doesn't only affect the person diagnosed by it, affects everyone. If you have a loved one that has been diagnosed with a mental illness and are facing challenges, NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness, provides monthly confidential family support groups. You can gain support from peers who understand your experience as well as insight into challenges and successes of others because it can be overwhelming. For more information, go to www.hiddenbattlesdmi.com.
We're back. Let's listen in.
No, Jeremy, you got to keep talking. It's your turn.
Yeah, Jeremy, your turn.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know, I think I did say a little bit about the podcast, meeting families. You know, the company's growing. It's moving forward. Got the crisis stabilization coming up. Mental health respite. Working with really good professional partners in the community here in Lincoln, Nebraska. It's super impressive to be able to see, you know, people fighting and continuing to fight for a better place. And I think that's what's humbling for me, is to know that I get to be a small part of that project and being a part of a country and a city and a state and a county that really does care about other people. And, you know, it's I don't know about other places, but, you know, it's really, I guess, humbling to understand that. For me, having 60 employees and they're fighting every single day, whether they feel good or not, and they're showing up for, you know, Christmas, holidays.
Did you say 60 or 16?
60. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, you know, we're going to be, I think, up to about 85. And it's really hard because, I think as a business owner and then also providing a mental health service, it's extremely difficult to let, I don't know if it's narrative in the country or what, or maybe it's my own personal projection of whatever, but it's really hard to be a business owner and meet the needs of the employees and get them to appreciate their work and understand, you know, and that's why we have mission and vision and values at IBHS, and that's our cornerstone, is it like, if you can't match up with it, you got to find someplace else, because we want people that are purpose driven. We want people that understand that as part of their life, that the most important thing at the top of the priority list are the employees who want to make sure that the people that are not treated the best are treated the best.
Absolutely.
And that's really difficult because there's a lot of state and local regulations and rules and all these things to help protect people. And it's really hard to keep all those things together.
Yeah.
It really is. And stuff happens, and, you know, it's easy to blame people. It's easy to be angry at people. It's easy to, you know, blame Jeremy for mistakes or whoever for mistakes. But in reality, you know what? I really do try to come from a good place, and I really want the best for everybody. And I know that mistakes are going to happen, but.
Well, I can attest that you're doing a hell of a job for the length of time I've been affiliated with you, leaps and bounds.
Thank you.
Leaps and bounds. And
nobody else is doing what you're doing.
Yeah. And and when we come back from the break, we're going to get into that, because we're going to be talking about 2025. And you're doing some things that no one in all 50 states are doing, correct?
You know, I think the part that is where I would say is that we the short answer is yes.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And where that comes in is realizing the mission and the vision and the values, and holding people to account of what that is. And that's extremely difficult. And a lot of people get their feelings hurt. A lot of people have feel a certain type of way. But when it comes down to it, the ultimate mission is to make sure that some of our worst treated people have a sense of identity. They themselves have a sense of purpose.
And get hope. They have hope.
Yeah. And hope. and that they believe mm-hmm. and they fight. Mm-hmm. And if you were able to, you know, move the camera around this room, you know, we have clients who are talking about exhaustion and differences, and they're drawing pictures, and they've got DLA 20 breakdowns, and I mean, all kinds of things. Healing is not the linear, right. You know, it's tangential. And so like how you operate a company is by understanding that what sets IBHS apart, or at least our intention, is that all of the things that we've talked about for 2024, that's what I'm trying to teach the people in my company to do. Mm-hmm. Get out of your victim stance. Get out of the conversation about how business owners are bad, or how, you know, I can come name 100 things. And when it comes down to the helping field, good luck. We're not Malik Nabors. We're not getting $1 million contracts. You know, teachers, all the people of the helping profession, we don't get.
Right.
You know, it's because we're not a product. We're not something that could be sold. We don't have arenas. Right. We don't have merch. We don't have all these things. Mm-hmm. So we're not able to provide what your true value is. And all of my employees, whether you're the highest or lowest paid, you deserve more. Mm-hmm. You do. And it's just not coming. It's just not, because of the way that our systems are set up. So you have to find a purpose-driven life. You have to find something outside of money. And I know how that sounds. As a business owner, it's really hard to know that some of my employees have dealt with trauma, substance abuse, mental illness, all those kinds of things, and say, oh, just take, you know, a certain dollar amount and you'll be fine. I know better, mm-hmm. you know, but yeah. It just so happens. Look at the military. Are they underpaid?
Absolutely.
You know, anywhere where there's another human being involved, you're underpaid.
Right.
You're devalued.
Devalued. That's a good note to end on. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
Mental illness doesn't only affect the person diagnosed by it, affects everyone. If you have a loved one that has been diagnosed with a mental illness and are facing challenges, NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness, provides monthly confidential family support groups. You can gain support from peers who understand your experience, as well as insight into challenges and successes of others, because it can be overwhelming. For more information, go to www.hiddenbattlesdmi.com. You don't have to do it alone.
Welcome back. Terrell, you got something on your mind. What is it?
Well, first thing, Jeremy, you know, we ended with that you're doing something that no mental health facility is doing in the United States of America.
And that needs to be recognized.
Exactly. Yeah. And so I'd like for you to just mention the name of the facility, and I have some questions, because the stuff you're talking about doing is like unheard of.
Yeah. Well, part of me wants to care for expectation. You know, part of me wants to, you know, here's the thing. Let me shoot back at you, Terrell.
Okay.
I watch you and I listen and I hear all of the things that you're doing in DBT. You're talking about people, and I'm speaking trite, bitchy, whatever. You're dealing with the people that have been disposed of. You're dealing with people who have assaulted, hurt, beat mom up on the way up to the damn facility on the way here. And my argument for change is that you have to create and allow space for that to occur. And then when you give that space to other people, they take it, which is a perfect example of what you've done. The stuff that you're doing in that group, regardless of the list of items that you were taught to do in the coaching, that takes an inherent talent that you were born with to execute that. You have people who are running their own group. You have people who are doing their own things. And then the change, the things that other people aren't doing, is they're allowing other people to be the who they are in real time and allow the storming to occur during group, and you're not running and panicking and judging and doing all these things. So if you were to argue the essence of what I'm attempting to do, or what I'm trying to do that nobody else is doing, is let you be. Let you be who you are. Let you shine. Mm-hmm. Allow your talents to come through. Mm-hmm. But yet other agencies potentially are saying, you can't do that. You can't say that. You have to follow this rule. Mm-hmm. You have to do this regulation. Mm-hmm. Or I've got you so inundated with bureaucracy that you can't possibly get the job done, which is to get people better, because I got to write 40 notes or 30 notes or 10 mm-hmm. notes or this treatment plan or that or whatever. And but I have to have proof in order to get paid. Mm-hmm. And so when it comes down to it in the behavioral health arena, you have to try to create a situation where you allow people's talents to be let loose. You have to let people go. You have to let them be who they are. You have to be careful, because there are some mm-hmm. people in there that think that they know what they're doing, but they don't. So when it comes down to behavioral health, the core purpose of a helper is to instill purpose. You have to get people to believe in believing again. You have to get them believing in the fight. So when they come in and they automatically grab their whiteboard and they're automatically doing this and they're automatically doing that, you've allowed them to have their own arena. You've created Theodore Roosevelt's arena. They're in there fighting the fight. Right. You allow that to happen. Right. You're not running your mouth. You're not talking. You're not giving advice. You're not implicating people, and you're not writing notes to get them under your control and saying, well, this person said this, and so therefore their probation should be provoked or revoked. Or I mean, I can go on and on and on and on and on and on and on. The strategy of why IBHS is successful is because I let talented people conduct themselves in such a way that allows them to align with who they are. And that could be anywhere from the uneducated to the educated. And so if you want to talk about Jeremy Luganbill's recipe mm-hmm. for success, is shut the fuck up and get the fuck out of the way. And understand that there are people out there that just know some shit that they probably know better than you. They can put up with the nuances every day. You're in there 12 hours a week, running group, talking to folks. They're going off. They're talking shit. They're confronting each other. And you're in there every day. You're in the arena every day. They're in the arena every day. And so that is the recipe for success, is to get out of the way and let people be who they are and let them fight, let them argue, let them storm, let them get through it. Because then when they are talking to their psychiatrist, psychologist, provider, Medicaid, whoever they're, what's going on, they have a fight in them. Exactly. They've been allowed to learn how to fight. Right. They've been learned. They know how to do these things, right. But everybody's caught up in,
they I'd feel say uninhibited.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do it. You know,
so thanks for that. And back to what I said, you're doing something that no one in this country has done yet when it comes to trying to build or building a bigger arena. Mm-hmm. And this is like, amazing.
Yeah.
In that, based on our previous conversation, I heard you say that if John Doe is at home with his wife, now, I can relate to this real quick because in another life, I was a TV news reporter mm-hmm. and I used to cover the crime beat. And at between 10 o'clock and 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, for some reason, all shit hits the fan with law enforcement. Yeah. And you kind of shared that timetable with me mm-hmm. the other day. So when that happens and the cops go to the house, and I'll give an example of what I witnessed one time. So a daughter and a mother are having an argument because she's doing drugs. Mm-hmm. She throws her shit out on the street, and she keeps calling 911, and they come finally, and she says, I want this bitch out of my house. No, fuck you. I'm going to kick your ass, blah, blah, blah. The cops will take her to your new facility, mm-hmm. and anyone that has a situation comparable to that, as opposed to taking them to jail, if they're laying out on the street and yeah. someone says, he ran in the store and he took a candy bar, now you take it from there.
Well, I think that what we're talking about are the people who have been able to accomplish what all we've been taught, even if they can't articulate it on paper. You have groups of people that understand that there are people out there that are hurting. There are people out there that aren't doing well. And so they create situations and they allow for innovation. They allow for new ideas. They allow for a lot of different things. And so what I would like to do is help Nebraska, to the extent that I can, is move out of areas where there's a weakness. And that doesn't take legislation. It doesn't take a governor. It doesn't take a mayor. It doesn't take it takes them understanding that if you want a successful society, you have to make sure that the people that are at the bottom of the rung do as well as they possibly can. Everything benefits. Every measure benefits. And so for me, you know, there are states that are doing good things. There are people doing good things around the country, and there are people that do dissertations on the Olmstead. And I mean, I can go on and on and on. So is this a singular ideological move that Jeremy's making completely on his own? No, I just know when to learn and when to listen and when to understand that something needs to change. And in reality, there are still people in America who are in shackles and change, and they may not be metal. They may be institutional. They may be bureaucratic. They may be, you know, racism, prejudice, gender, any number of things. And so how do you fight those things? You create a space for people to fight. You create a space for people to live and learn. And I know what you're getting to, and I'm purposely avoiding the specifics. But the real, true underlining result is to make sure that any business owner, any CEO that works in the health and human services field creates a space for people to be who they are. And that is very, very, very tough to do.
And yet they're not.
Sure.
And so you're doing something, as I stated, and our audience needs to understand, you are creating an environment, a professional environment, where people have a place to go to potentially, as opposed to being locked up in prison.
Jail, institutions, right. Wherever.
Yeah. Because we know that jails now are the number one mental institution.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that that's acceptable. I mean, I think there's a lot of people, not in my neighborhood, not in my town, it's much easier to forget people than it is to remember them. And when you have people who are hurting, people that aren't doing well, people that would violate a crime on any level, it's much easier just to throw them away. And I don't have to look at it. I don't have to recognize it. But I'm asking America and the world to see the people who are hurting, who aren't doing well, and to bring peace, to end war, to bring prosperity, to give people a place to exist, a place to fight, at least create a fair arena. Like a lot of people that we deal with, it's 10 to 1. There's 10 barriers to one issue, and it's like, let's create a space for people to be able to actually exist. And we're doing that every day. We're doing that time and time again, and that's simply because there are people that exist within IBHS, within other companies, that allow that to happen. And I mean, we can do a whole podcast on how to manage this. And really what it comes down to is that the people that provide the services are at most risk for being the most racist.
That concludes Hidden Battles Destigmatizing Mental Illness podcast. Join in every week. Be sure to subscribe, like, and share.